Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to episode 67 of Amazing Avenue Audio. Amazing Avenue Audio is the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, proud owner of a new R.A. Dickey bobblehead. And joining me once again this week is Greg Karam. Greg, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
I am very happy about this R.A. Dickey bobblehead. I've been bidding on eBay basically since the Blue Jays had their giveaway last week, and I keep getting outbid at the last second, but I finally scored one for more money than one should probably spend for an R.A. Dickey bobblehead. But on the other hand, is there such an amount of money that's too much to spend on an R.A. Dickey bobblehead?
That's a good question. I would say yes, there is.
That is probably true. There's some I saw, like the All-Star Game one from last year is like regularly like $120. And I feel about that same way I kind of feel about it. Like, I'd really like to have one. I'd also really like to have one of the old, like, mid-80s Sheffield Wednesday home kits, but you can't find those for less than, like, $300 either. So sometimes you have to cut your losses.
Yeah. Well, God forbid they ever had a, you know, Yusimero Petit bobblehead over in San Francisco.
They had one in the St. Louis Mets, probably.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is my... I've talked about it before on the podcast. This is my white whale. They did four. I want to say it was like 2000. I feel like he was still in the organization. So maybe like 2005. They did. There was an Art Howe bobblehead too. So it must have been 2004. So they did four of them. They did David Wright, Yusimero Petit, Art Howe, and somebody else. And David Wright one shows up on eBay fairly regularly. And I've seen the Art Howe one before too. The Yusimero Petit one, never. Has disappeared off the face of the earth.
It's probably because no one has ever, like, considered selling it. You know, they're probably...
I said this before, if someone out there owns it, it's probably one of our listeners. I would like to think there's some sort of crossover there, so you have it. Let me know. Reach out to me. I will pay probably an obscene amount of money for it.
Yeah, don't put a number on it.
I'm not going to put a number on it, because that's probably a bad idea. So this is episode 67. No Met has worn 67. I don't have any strong feelings about the 67 season. It was just sort of another bad Met season in their early history. And I have no distinct memories of the 67 Mets yearbook. I'm sure I've seen it, but it's not one of the Mets yearbooks that I've seen enough to have distinct memories of. So I ran through a couple options for episode titles this week, keeping in with current events around the Mets right now. I thought about things to do in Denver when you wish you were dead. I considered the Mountain Goats / LOL Mets bullpen inspired. If anybody comes into this game while we're asleep, I hope they incinerate everyone in it. And the also musically inspired, but probably too profane, Motherfuck K, Motherfuck Q, Motherfuck Press Row, Now Here Comes My Left Blow edition. Now that I've earned the explicit tag, I'll tell you the actual title of the episode, which is The Only Reason the Mets Should Ever Go to Colorado is to Visit the Left Hand Brewery edition.
I think that one will avoid the explicit tag and edit that out.
Oh, I'm not going to edit it out and stay in there. I'm actually, I think I have one. I'll make an unsolicited promotion for Left Hand Beer. All of their beers, really. They make my favorite American beer, the Milk Stout Nitro. I've also had their Polestar Pilsner. I think I still have one in the fridge somewhere, which is also excellent. I'm actually drinking Elm City Pilsner from the New England Brewing Company in a can, which is pretty good. I literally came home from work and started recording, so I didn't have time to actually make myself a proper drink or make any notes. So by the time you are listening to this, you already know how long it is. It might be pretty long, but honestly, there's not much on the agenda. Given the Mets' recent struggles, we'll talk a little bit about what, if anything, we've learned from their recent struggles against Colorado and Miami. We sit here recording this Tuesday night. They're already down 2-0. And then later in the show, last week we did the Savannah Sand Nats with Toby Hyde. This week we'll talk a little bit about the St. Lucie Mets with Jeff Moore of Baseball Prospectus. And we'll wrap things up with not your emails, because you didn't send us any emails. And I will warn you ahead of time, when you don't send us any emails, we usually just end the show with me talking about soccer. But we'll start things off this week with This Week in LOL Mets. I remarked on Twitter that they had a rather soft portion of their schedule coming up with 15 games just against the Phillies, Rockies, and Marlins. And so far they are 2-4. Out in Colorado, they found new ways to lose to the Rockies. And last night they found the same old way to lose to the Marlins. Actually, Amazing Avenue writer Matt Callen, I think, remarked on Twitter that this felt like all of the games the Mets played against the Marlins in 2007, 2008. But to me, I think it felt more like a game against the Phillies in 2007, 2008, where the Mets jumped out to an early lead, got pretty good starting pitching, didn't really add to that early lead, then watched as their opponents chipped away to that lead against their bullpen. And then sort of like those games with the Phillies, either they weasel out of it or they go down a run and come back and tie it, but somehow set themselves up where you could exhale for a little bit just so they could then kill you in a more egregious manner later in the game.
Yeah, I don't think it reminds me of any one particular game, just many, many games, onslaught down the stretch during that season. But
it is the Mets game, basically.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was, I mean, I thought that the game was emblematic of the last couple of years, you know, with the way the bullpen melted down and the way it's been just, you know, horrendous the last couple of years. And I've been optimistic about it to this point, but, you know, that was pretty demoralizing. And especially, and then, you know, on the heels of the game against, Rockies two nights before, you know, it hasn't been a good couple days.
Just something I want to harp on a little bit, and I'm sure we each have our rants in terms of, I don't know if we've learned anything about this team in the last 4 days, 5 days, that we didn't already know, kind of in our heart of hearts, maybe. I know we were maybe a little bit optimistic about the team's future when they were 4 games over 500 last time we spoke. Now they are 1 game over 500 entering play tonight. But the Mets bullpen has been bad for the entirety of the Alderson regime, essentially. In the last 3 years, they've tried very different ways to build a bullpen. For the 2012 season, they went out and spent, you know, $15 million on established relievers in John Roush and Frank Francisco. You know, hindsight being what it is, and even to a certain extent, foresight being what it was at the time, didn't work out so well. So going into 2013, they stayed away from the big ticket items, but went for, you know, veteran bounce back candidates you could get late in the winter on cheap deals. So your Brandon Lyons, your Scott Aitchison's, you know, guys that are actually maybe even a little bit better class of reliever than the Rouches and the Frank Francisco, who were coming off bad seasons or were hurt, etc. And that didn't work so well. So this year, they went mostly with, you know, the next cut down of free agents, the total, like, scrap heap, minor league deals with non-roster invites, Kyle Farnsworth and Jose Valverde, and then pretty much built, internally. So guys they had traded for, like Vic Black, you know, Jeff Walters, who was an internal candidate, was in the mix. Jairus Familia, Carlos Torres, one of their few good relievers from the